Sci-fi.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is Starburns Audio Produced Podcast. One believer, one skeptic, and one guest. This episode is brought to you by our producer, Brian Lewis. Thank you very much, Brian, for subscribing on the Patreon. If you want to become a producer, go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi, and we've got three different tiers for you to choose from, and you get two bonus episodes a week. That's about it. If you want to leave us a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on the air. Willie, how are you?
I'm doing all right, man. A lot has happened in the last week. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm tired. I'm on medicine that makes me tired now. And hopefully it's just me getting used to it and not like a permanent thing. Cause I'm like fucking worthless, especially when I drink like the next day, I'm fucking worthless, dude.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. What's new with you, man? I mean, I know you just said that, but, what games are you playing right now?
Nothing really. I mean, I'm still playing like NBA 2K. I got that Marvel Lego superheroes game. I've been working my way through that. It's like one of those, it's one of those games where it's fun to just go around and do all the collectibles and stuff like that.
Yeah. I got back into Skyrim. I've said that, right?
You're back into it again?
I mean, I'm still playing it. I haven't played in a week, but I'm still going yep, I'm playing.
I always want to, and then that wagon, that opening cutscene where you're on a wagon takes like 15 minutes, and I always, by the end of that, I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Well, I did the thing where I spent a couple days cheating. So, like, you get off the wagon, you start chasing the guy. If you start hacking the guy with a sword and then put a rubber band on your controller and go to bed, you can get your one-handed sword up to 100 overnight. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I'm 44 years old. Am I going to go hack things that long? No, I need the cheat so that when I play it, I'm not trying to make it I want to play for the story because I didn't really cheat the first time through.
But then you're beholden to one-handed slashing. I like to be a little sneaky arrow, dude.
Oh, but see, if you sneak and have your slash on, you get your sneak and your one-handed arm up.
Yeah, but that's not realistic. Nobody's that oblivious that you could just crouch and walk up behind him and hit him with a sword.
Willie, I came to a similar place. I play NBA 2K, like, religiously, and I try to play on the highest level, and I usually do, but on the highest level, it's so hard to make three-pointers. Like, it's impossible. And for so long, I resisted touching the sliders, which is basically just like the percentages. And because I was like, no, I have to play Hall of Fame. And
it's,
I was like,
why am I
stressing? Why am I hating my life because I want to live up to what standard? Hall of Fame standard that nobody gives a shit about. So I just, I ticked them up, not like too much, but just I ticked them up a little bit and I had a much better time.
Yeah. No, there's nothing more frustrating than a sports game where the computer is like actively making you worse than you know that you are, you know?
Yeah.
It's like just timing. Like, I know that I'm letting the button up at the right time. I'm watching the meter. Yeah. The threes in that game are kind of ridiculous, especially because that's all the NBA is now, is shooting threes. So it should be like one of the easier things to do. Yeah. Why don't we welcome aboard the SSRLSF, our guest? You just heard from him. It's Nick Hurley. What's up, Nick?
What's up, party people?
you're kind of, do you want to throw out your TikTok or you're a comedian? Like, what do you want to say about yourself right here?
I think I'm like trying to be, I don't like trying. I think I'm like an internet comedian right now because that's just like the avenue that I see best fit for the circumstance I'm in. So I just try to put out content and build a following so eventually I can do things that I really want to do.
Yeah, that's radical, dude. That, and that's the whole game. And then also to throw some more on top of you, you haven't given out your handles yet. But like, if you watch the series Barry, Nick was a featured Russian in it.
And yeah,
I love that series, that show.
Yeah, that was like a dream come true. Even though like I didn't have a big role, but it was like recurring, and I was, you know, fairly featured as far, but just didn't have a line. But that was definitely, I feel like I've talked about it on this podcast before, but if not, it was a dream come true. That was like amazing.
Well, I only bring it up because it may have been on the bonus Patreon episode. So I'm not sure if it was that or the last time you were on.
Well, Nick, this is a little bit of a departure episode because we're not doing like ghosts and stuff like that, but it is tradition that we do the WoW scale. The WoW scale stands for Waiter Willie. It's a 5-question quiz, and at the end, you'll be judged from 0 to 5. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willie. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a Wade. Are you ready to get weighed on the WoW scale?
I'm ready.
WoW scale. Are you a Wade or are you a Willie?
Okay, you've taken this, right?
I have, yeah. The first time I was far scoring Wade, and then the second time I was a little still closer to Wade, but closer to Willie. And I would guess that I'm somewhere in the middle. That's what I'd guess.
All right, let's get to it. Question number one, do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Yes. Yes. No, not in the last 100 years. Is that what it was?
300.
300? I'm going to say no.
So you're not into that Barack Obama's a lizard person, stuff like that?
I don't believe in lizard people. I do certainly believe it's possible. Maybe maybe there are aliens walking amongst us, but I don't think so.
Okay, question number two. Do you believe in ghosts?
Ghosts in a traditional sense, like, oh no, there's like a smart, sentient spirit person. I don't think so. Ghosts and maybe like some sort of residual energy. Yes.
Okay. Where are you from?
Sacramento.
Okay. No ghost stories up there in Sacramento?
I did when I was a kid, and I just sort of don't believe them anymore. And I know it sounds like any person who like really believes in ghosts would be like, why would you abandon them? But I really do think you sort of have a very active imagination as a kid. And I also think that you sort of want to believe in these kind of things, and they're fun stories. But like looking back, I'm like, was that really a thing? I don't think so. I don't know.
Do you remember one of your ghost stories?
So there was a time when I was a Christian. I'm with my parents right now. So I'm being respectful. But
they don't like that you're a Christian?
No, they don't like that. They like the
that river. You are no longer a Christian.
Yeah. Right. So, and I was really into spiritual warfare, which is like the battle between angels and demons. And apparently if you dive into it, it's like, the idea is like there's constantly a battle between angels and demons among us all the time. And I got really into that. And when I was getting really into that, things were happening. But I think, again, when your brain is like geared for this, like there's demons all around me, of course, things are going to seem like things are happening. But there was a time when I was like in my closet, literally the closet right over there, where like I thought I heard someone whisper Nick to me, and I thought it was my mom. Like I turned... Oh, I do have ghost stories at the Laugh Factory too. You know, I'm open. I'm sorry, I'm all over the place. I'm open to it. I don't know.
So wait, have you been watching Good Omens? Did you watch that? Because that's all about angels and demons, right?
I haven't, no.
Oh, it's a Amazon Prime show. It's got, you know, some British people in it that you know.
No.
I can't think of their names. Well, check it out. It's Neil Gaiman. You might like it. You know, if you're still it seems like maybe you would still be into that world, right? Of angels and demons. as like a fun
not fiction. Angels and Demons. I don't not Angels and Demons. I do believe in like also I have the weirdest stories involved a sunroom growing up. We had this sunroom and there was weird shit that would happen in that sunroom all the time. And honestly, if I were to be I would say the things that happen at the Laugh Factory and that honestly make me question, you know. But it's just, it's always too obscure. It's always too like, oh, like what are the odds these ghosts are always just avoiding being seen or being, I don't know. It's all like this very small little instant of, oh, what was that? But it's why don't they, why are they sneaky? I don't like, why are they sneaking around? I don't understand.
Oh, he saw us. Oh, he saw us. Get out of here.
It doesn't make sense.
Get out.
Well, they're little creepers. I mean, when you get the book, when you die, you get the book, and it's like you got to be a little creeper, man.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not scary if you're just around.
That's what makes me question it. Yeah.
Question three: Bigfoot, you believe in him or her or they?
I'm gonna say no.
Okay, no to Bigfoot. You ever been to a psychic? Do you believe in psychics?
I believe in like very intuitive people that are even on a subconscious level can like take in observations and sort of like make, assessments based on that. But like psychics, like they actually know the future and stuff. No.
Are you superstitious?
Not really. No. Only in a sense of maybe like a superstition helps your mind. Like the ritual of it helps it sort of like. Helps the routine of it. I don't know. But no, not like mythically.
Yeah, I know you're like a two probably.
And you're a one and Willie's a five?
Well, I'm like a zero, I guess. Oh,
okay. Yeah. Yeah, I would say I'm like I personally would say like 2.5, but
I mean technically I should be a one because it's only five questions. And so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So I don't know where the zero is coming from, but whatever. It's all made up anyway. It's just like everything else in the world.
What did you say he was?
Like a two.
Okay. Just wanted to write it down.
Really?
I think I'm closer to three.
Wikipedia?
Well, I feel like I have notebooks of all these notes and I'm like, oh, I should put the guess on there and write down their wow scale so that if I need to know what it is, I can look it up.
You want to start doing this like 300 episodes in?
I started like 100 episodes ago.
Really?
Yeah.
I like that idea. Keeping track of everyone's wow scale.
It's a great idea, but there's no way that he could, at a moment's notice, bring up that information.
I don't know. Wait, hold on. What episode?
He would have to. Yeah, he's gonna have to like flip through.
And I don't even write down most of them. You know, like I didn't write down Kyle's.
The thing is, nothing I really believe. Like every opinion I just gave, I'm equally like, but maybe not. Like, I don't know.
I mean, that's where I am. I just don't really care enough to actually have an opinion about any of this stuff.
Yeah, fair.
I change a little bit too, you know? Like I only bring this up because I got a book this week about Admiral Byrd's unofficial diary. I got that this week. He's the guy talking about Hollow Earth. And I mean, I'm into it. But
you've always been into it.
Yeah. But if something too crazy happens, I'm like, ah, man, I got duped. Like, I'm down to admit that I got duped. Like, the whole reptilian, anytime the reptilian eye thing happens, I'm like, I don't even pay attention to that. I'm like, if your evidence is a video, I don't buy it.
So you're not down with David Icke anymore?
I think that David Icke has got some theories that like are pretty radical, and they're so radical that they could be correct. You know, there could be entities that live off of our emotions in another dimension next to us.
So if that's all it takes, then I can come up with a bunch of crazy theories, man.
Well, those are moneymakers, baby.
I've got entities that eat your fingernail clippings when you, they're like these little guys, and they come and they dig through your trash to look for your fingernail clippings. That's why so many people have their fingernail clippings in the jars, because they're afraid of these guys.
Also, that's a good point, because it's like, we pick our nails all day. Where do they go? They're not on the ground.
You're telling me that the vacuum picks all those up? I don't think so.
I'm not buying it.
I never vacuum.
Used to be living cells.
Yeah.
Like, what's the difference between fingernails? They're getting their power off the
residual. All right, Willie, what are we talking about?
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, Tupac Shakur, Biggie Smalls, East Coast, West Coast, Bad Boy, Death Row. Some of the bigger conspiracies associated with this rapper feud discussed tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi. Can we figure it out? Can we figure out what the fuck happened? Yes. I'm going to say yes.
Can I just say before we start that, like, Bad Boy Records immediately got, like, really fucking lame once Biggie died. It just became, like, really poppy rap.
Yeah.
And then Puff was, like, on MTV doing, like, making the band and shit.
Yeah.
If anything, I would think that, like, Puff killed Biggie and just, like, swallowed up all of his, like, momentum and built an empire out of it.
Well, that's
a theory.
One of the theories, man.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, let's start from the top. What are you guys? Are you guys, and I'm just musical tastes. Are you West Coast or East Coast rap?
I am per song. I don't support anybody as an artist, because most artists have got so much shit music that I'm just like, well, you have a song that I cannot stop myself from dancing to, and the rest of the album sucks. And yeah. That's true. I mean, like,
you have to pick a side, man. This is, like, not up for Well, let me just, here's my understanding of the style differences. East Coast was more sort of lyrical driven. West Coast was more sort of like beats.
I'd take West Coast,
which you'd take the beats.
I don't even know what half the lyrics are. Because the beats get me moving. If there's somebody that flows well enough for their voice is lyrically an instrument, you know, like picture Q-Tip, even like the uniqueness of the Beastie Boys, where they like are so unique that they are their own instruments. And, you know, Tupac's voice is probably one of my favorite rapper voices of all time.
Yeah.
I only know the lyrics to like three of his songs though. But I feel so impressed to do it.
am I right in my very, very quick summation of East versus West?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good. I think that's a pretty good general summation.
Even I'm a hip hop guy, right?
Yeah, I used to be a rapper, so when I would say I was early on very influenced by a more East Coast style. I was very into like bars and rhyme schemes, which is like Nas, like Illmatic was one of my favorite albums ever. So I'd say early on, definitely like a more East Coast. And then as I got older, I'm more into like vibes and beats and just more of like, yeah, more of like a vibe type thing, which is more West Coast. So I would say it kind of changed.
Yeah,
it was weird because West Coast gets mixed up because there was such a hardcore heavy push, but then there was also this very melodical jazz inspired rap, you know, thinking like, well, whatever, you know, Tribe Called Quest, like they're a mixture, you know, they're East Coast and West Coast. But yeah, sorry, Wade, sorry to cut you off. What are you saying?
Yeah, geez, I guess I don't get to weigh in on this. I've always been a West Coast guy just because that is what came to me first, you know? And like, I've never been inspired by lyrics in music at all. Like lyrics are just kind of like filling in sounds, you know what I mean?
I was a lyric elitist early on, and now I don't give a shit. Now I'm just like, I don't fucking care about your bars, dude. No disrespect.
Well, I will say, like if you're going off about your gold, you know, like that's probably more lyrically inspired anyways, you know, to
like an old prospector.
Yeah.
Or like a leprechaun.
Like the old prospector Puffy Combs, who's been mining for gold off of all of his.
Can I amend what I said? I do care about lyrics, but I care more about punchlines. I used to care more about like rhyme schemes and like intricate like ways to rap. I used to think that was God. Now I'm more about like a good punchline. Sorry, I just had to. I couldn't have that on record.
That's fine. I get it. Yeah.
Who do you like better, Lyrics Born or Sage Francis?
I don't even know Lyrics Born, so
Sage Francis.
Well, why don't you ask the real question that's on topic? Who do you like better, Tupac or Biggie?
I like Tupac more.
Is any who likes what type of people like Biggie more? Like, if you were to draw a caricature in a newspaper. What would be the political cartoon of a Biggie fan?
Timberlands and a New York Yankees hat.
But here's what I don't get, because they're both New York, right? So,
well,
Tupac became West Coast, but
yeah.
Well, can we get into that? Like, why is he West Coast? Just because of who his producers were?
Tupac was born in New York, right? And then he moved to, his mom was like trying to get him away from like gang stuff. So they moved to
Marin County.
Well, no. Before that, he lived in Baltimore.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. That'll get him away from trouble. Baltimore.
Right. It's like you go from like New York street gangs to like hard inner city.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. That's like a lateral move.
Yeah, and then to
move to Omaha or some shit.
I know, man. Like, I don't know though. I mean, like, to tell you the truth, the gang violence in the middle of the country was a lot worse than the coasts because they had more to prove. Whereas, like, the coasts for a while were like, well, you know, I'm hard, but I don't need to kill everyone and or go to jail. Whereas the middle of the country is like, were just as hard as anybody. So they were worse. Like, New Mexico gangs were fucking terrible for decades.
Well, anyways. But that's like border war shit. That's like drug trade. I wouldn't consider that like middle America.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, New Mexico is middle America, right?
Well, not when it comes to gangs, because that's like the. It's drugs, right?
I don't know what I'm talking about. I just watched some documentaries about New Mexico gangs, but I don't know what
was the it gang, called Breaking Bad?
I don't know what the gang was focused on. It was long before was Breaking Bad. Like, oh, yeah, yeah. At any rate.
Well, so I asked why
I like Tupac bigger. Who do you like better?
Well, honestly, I don't care about either of them. I've never listened to either of them. Neither of them have a song where I was like, oh, this is great. I need to get this. I've never owned either album. I've never downloaded either of any of their songs.
Well, like the Biggie song where he's rapping over M. Toomey's Juicy. Is that how you say it, M. Toomey?
Yeah. Or like that, I don't know. But yeah,
like that fucking Juicy song is so good that I'm like, You could do like clown honks over it, and I'm like, this is a good song. So like for him, like a lot of the rapping from that time was like rapping over things that were already amazing. And I just think the new generations didn't know what songs they were rapping over, you know?
I'll say this. I think Biggie has the most iconic line of the two, which is B-I-G-P-O-P-P-A, no info for the D-E-A. Like, that is just, I get chills even just every time I hear that. That's just, I love that.
Yeah, I will say this. Like, I've definitely like remembered more Biggie than Tupac. So I guess I would have to go with Biggie just based on like osmosis.
Yeah.
It's hard. And I can even lie about it. Baby, just don't alleviate your hips trying to fly about it. Want you in the cut.
All right. Yeah. Very good. You've heard the song.
Yeah, I just think Tupac was such a force of nature that, like, because I do double think it when I'm like, Biggie had some classics and probably some more like club hits and more like hits you can dance to. But Pac was just such a force that it's just like, I don't know.
And this is like kind of off topic, but like, how much of this is their producers? Like, Biggie, like, who picks the samples and who does the beats? Because that's the reason I like hip hop is because of that stuff and not necessarily the rapping.
I mean, here's the thing. So Tupac and Biggie, when they first started, they were both very, I'm fucking drawing a fart blank right now. What's it called when you, rap non-written stuff?
Improvise?
What'd you say?
Ad-lib? Freestyle?
Yeah, freestyle.
Off the dome?
Both of them were such good freestylers that they used to perform a lot of freestyling stuff, and they would freestyle together, you know? So they performed a lot. They were friends early on.
Like, isn't that more like a magic trick? Like, I don't care about that doesn't make it good. That's cool. That guy's talented at rhyming words off the top of his head, but it doesn't make me like it.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's what I'm getting at, though, is like nobody bought a freestyle album, but it puts on a good show. And so they used to freestyle together. Biggie used to sleep on Tupac's couch when he'd come out here. Like, they were friends.
Well, I know they were, but we got to back up because last I heard, Tupac was in Baltimore. And so, like, how did he become a West Coast dude?
Well, you know, there was trouble there, too. So then they moved to Marin County in California. Wait,
where is Marin County?
Bay Area.
Oh, okay. Is that when he got in with Digital Underground?
Yeah.
That's the funniest fucking pairing.
Well,
Looking back on that is insane.
I know, dude. When I think of that stupid Dan Aykroyd movie with all the weird, gross makeup on, what's that? Dan Aykroyd.
It's like something about luck or like nothing to lose or something. It's not
nothing but trouble. So no, not
nothing
that.
But trouble. Yeah, I think that's right.
Something like that. Fuck, dude. Grossest looking movie. I haven't watched it because it's just
what does that dumb. Have to do? What does that have to do with what we're talking about?
Well, they had a big Digital Underground song in it.
Okay.
And I mean, he was a dancer for Digital Underground, and then he got hard.
Well, but he did was that. Freestyle. He was like a pharaoh in one of their songs. I remember that in one of the videos, he was like a pharaoh.
to be honest. I do think Pac's like gangster thing is more performance thing that got too real and too deep.
Oh yeah.
Like, I think he's a sensitive artist, poet type that just sort of adopted this persona. And then it got too
in Baltimore. He went to one of the like art schools, like Shauna was telling me that, like, you know, he went to like the Juilliard of Baltimore, basically, you know,
do you think that like he, because in all these bad documentaries and everything that I've watched about this Biggie versus Tupac thing, like, he's always kind of an asshole, an instigator. He's always like the guy who's like throwing the first punch and stuff like that. Do you think he bought into the life and then started acting like that?
Yeah.
I think that he was, this is such a bad parallel, and maybe I'm an idiot asshole for doing this, but like, I feel like if you're too creative in the land of tough, it's like growing up gay, where it's like you're not allowed to be creative when everyone has a gun, you know? Like picture how many gangsters out there tried to rap and like got shot down hard by their buddies, and it's just like didn't recover from that and didn't try rapping again, you know, like I'm just like when you grow up on the streets and then you're like a dancer for a group, it's just like, how did you dance? Because dancing has always been looked down on by the tough crowds.
Wait, was he specifically a dancer?
Well, no, but like he was a backup dancer. You know, in Digital Underground, sure, he may have sung some backups, but he was a dancer in Digital Underground.
I thought he was just like one of the lesser members. I don't know. It's, you know, it's like fucking Wu-Tang has like 100 million members. I thought it was kind of like that with Digital Underground, where they just had a bunch of people.
Now, he was a dancer in Digital Underground. He may have sung some things, but he was a dancer. So it's like, how did you, out of all these tough streets, learn how to dance?
That's what I'm saying is like, and I'm not saying you can't be legitimately tough and do that, but I will say in general, if you take a step back and look at it, it is funny. And that's why a lot of people, that's why it's a very common thing that, oh, rappers are fake, you know, fake gangsters or just friends of gangsters. Because yeah. You think about how kind of funny it is that like, these are just guys like writing poems to like to beats in their room or whatever. Like that's a very like sensitive
it's a diary, man.
Like what kind of hard gangster like goes home and writes poems, you know? It's like, it's kind of funny.
And so I think that's what I'm kind of getting at. Like Tupac, I feel like gangster rap took over and there was no other like mainstream hip hop at that time. So he just kind of like had to do that, right? Like, because what else was selling?
Well, it's weird because gangster rap came on so hard, but he was such a poetic gangster that it's like, dude, he won the hearts of people because not only was he tough and rugged, but he stole your heart.
I think he also saw it as like he was a representative, like he was speaking for a people, like speaking for the streets. And so I think Tupac at least took it very seriously as like speaking up for a marginalized people. And like
picture Dear Mama.
Yeah.
Like, how do you get away with a poem to your mom? And it's so fucking good. And like, I always picture, I mean, the one thing that's made me laugh my whole life is picturing the toughest guy at any concert. You know, like what, it, like you can't not dance because then you're like not enjoying yourself. So like, I picture the toughest guy in the concert, like trying to dance to something that's emotional, you know, like, yeah. You're kind of looking around like, fucking don't look at me. Don't look at me. Yeah, I'm doing it. Yeah. Like, I got a mom too. Like, yeah, I know.
So what happened? So Tupac is doing the Digital Underground thing. They're not giving him any fucking verses. Biggie is doing what at the same time?
He's really selling crack. So I don't know what.
Tupac
wasn't really about it, but
like I know Biggie really is just he was a drug dealer and had a kid and like was making money for his kid selling drugs. You know, like he was just from the streets. So 91, Tupac comes around, and Biggie doesn't come out till 93. So, but like close to a year between the two, because it was, but you know, before they both made it big, they knew each other. They were out on the circuit. They, you know, rap and hip hop concerts back then, you would get a live, improv, freestyle. That was half the show, you know, like, you know how, like for a long time, I don't know, during the 80s, it was like, you had this rock thing going on. It was like, you wanted them to sound like the CD or the tape. And then like in the rap world, like the freestyle was the show. It was like, man, no one will ever see this performance. This was freestyled. So this all comes from the East Coast. East Coast rap is lyrical because it was a block party, you know? It was like, it was a mixture of DJs and dancers and rappers. And it was like, each party was unique and each party had its own flavor from where they were from. So that's what a lot of hip hop shows were like, where it was like, it was a block party that happened in Kansas, you know? I only bring that up because, they were both very big before they got big, before they made mainstream. People knew who they were if you went to rap shows. And then so when they finally got, when Tupac comes around and he finally signs with Suge Knight Death Row Records, I think this is the biggest turning point in the whole story. They were friends. Biggie was basically recording his biggest hot jam, you know. I don't know the name of the song. What is it? The one over the Juicy song. And he's talking to Tupac, and Biggie wanted Tupac to be his manager. He's like, no, you know, stick with Puffy. He's going to make you huge. Because Tupac was like an entrepreneur and wanted to do movies and all kinds of stuff, you know? And so Tupac tells Biggie that he's going to go visit him while he's recording. They were supposed to work on a song together. And he basically gets shot up in the lobby. He got shot 5 times. And nobody really knew that he was coming. And Tupac said that what made him think that Biggie was in on him trying to get shot was that their reaction when he, because he made it up the stairs, and he said that the between Biggie and Puffy and all their crew, like, let me write down my notes. He thought that their reaction was surprised and guilty. So he was basically like, oh, they were surprised they made it up the stairs and they felt guilty for being in on knowing somebody was going to take a shot at me. That's what he said.
Yeah, and Pac was saying, like, how do you not know what's going on in your own city? Like, that's how he felt. And I will also add in that, and someone should check this, but, like, I guess for conversation's sake, I'll say that I think, like, Pac was, like, bipolar, where he had, like, mental health issues. So, like, that can make you paranoid. That can make you anxious. So, like, I could see how you would think, read into something. But, like, I don't know. To me, it's pretty – it's a big step. Like, how do you not know everything that's happening in your city? Like,
after everything I've seen, that tracks very well what you're saying. At any rate, and so then, listen, no matter what happens, a few months later, Biggie comes out with a single called Who Shot Ya? And so that was like, it was like, fuck, man, are you singing about me? Who shot ya? Like, I don't know.
But he denies it, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so after that, Tupac, thinking this is a shot at him, takes a shot back at Biggie and his song called Hit Him Up. And in that song, he says that he slept with his wife and he got Biggie's wife to sing on the track.
Well, wasn't that a sample or something, or like?
No, she came down to do the thing. At the time, they were friends. You know, she didn't know that this betrayal or whatever might have been happening. So she came down willingly, saying, "Like, yeah, I'll do a track with you." You know, like, you guys, well, I know, are buds.
That was Faith Evans, right?
I don't know.
I know that they, so Pac one time, so he released a picture with Biggie's wife at the time of Pac and her in like a booth, like taking a picture together. She tells a story like, I was at a restaurant. They saw me. I thought it was all love. So he was like, hey, come over, take a picture. They go, they take a picture, and then boom, he has this song and a picture with her being like, you know, like, see, evidence, you know, I'm with your wife. And so, you know.
Listen, I don't know the actual facts, but I remember seeing an interview with her when she was like, I didn't know that this was happening. And in that interview that I saw, it seemed like she sang on the track. I don't even know the song. So sorry if I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. I think she sang on it.
I'm making sure it's Faith Evans because I'm pretty positive.
It is, as far as a cursory Wikipedia search.
So here's the thing. The reason why this is all coming out, and I didn't know this until I started looking it up. There's a series on Netflix right now called Tupac and Biggie. And it is a dramatization of all of the events from the perspective of. So let me just throw out a couple of these facts right now. First off, fucking Tupac killed on September 7th, 1996. He was 25. He's fucking 25 years old. Biggie killed only 6 months later, whatever, March 9th, 1997. Biggie was 24. These poor fucking kids. What right? The fuck? I just assumed they were way older because I was younger than them when they died.
It's insane, man.
So,
well, you know, it's like Slayer says, live by the sword, die by the sword, you know, like don't fuck around with that shit.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break and then we'll continue talking about this. I want to get into the conspiracy theories. I feel like we've sort of nailed down the backstory. Like, to me, I really do think that, like, rumors and shit got out of hand and they just ended up killing each other. But I would like to hear all these theories.
And just an ending point before we go to break, nobody has been convicted of the murder of either of them.
Right, which is like a big, we'll get into the whole LAPD thing as part of that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So we'll come back. We're talking to Nick Hurley about Biggie and Tupac and who shot you.
You've got questions? We've got t-shirts. It's real life sci-fi t-shirts.
Hey, I don't know if you know, but you should know if you listen, but we've got t-shirts.
We've got them. You need t-shirts, right? T-shirts, you can wear them to any... Listen, you throw a blazer on a t-shirt, you can wear it to a fancy dinner.
If you had a suit on, you could have a t-shirt on underneath of your favorite thing just to prove to yourself that what you love is still on the inside.
Right. And in even if you just put the blazer over it, people are going to be like, oh, this guy's hip. He doesn't care about wearing a tie.
You know, a popular trend I've seen is for someone to wear a hooded sweatshirt with a t-shirt on underneath.
Very popular trend. That trend's not going anywhere.
That t-shirt
could
be from your favorite podcast or top 8 podcast.
Or, yeah, one of the podcasts that you listen to occasionally.
After you listen to
your main podcasts. Real Life Sci-Fi is the podcast we're talking about.
Now when you go to TeePublic and you search Real Life Sci-Fi, you'll find our shirts for, I guess, a year. That's not how it works.
Yeah, they were really hard to find. You had to go to Willie's Twitter, get the direct link, and then you could find them from there.
It was broken. Well,
but
they
now,
fixed it.
TeePublic.com, right?
Yeah.
Just search Real Life Sci-Fi.
T-E-E.
Is there a specific way to search? Do you have to put it in quotes? Do you have to have the dash between sci-fi?
No, I just put it no dash, no spaces.
Oh, just like a password.
Fuck, I should check if they all work. But that's how I did it. Yeah, just like a password.
Okay, so go to tpublic.com, search for Real Life Sci-Fi, and you'll find our shirts. And they're done by artists who are friends of ours, and we get almost no money.
It's so little that I could make more selling you a shirt than I made it. Well, whatever.
Yeah, maybe we should abandon. Nah, we'd have to print them then.
I know. My thing is like, it's not about the money. I'd rather run it. I want to run into one of our shirts one day on accident.
That's like a 1 in a million chance. There's no way.
That's me, homie. What? Hey, that's me.
You would be the approaching one. You would be a fan of the guy for being listener.
Who are you? That's me.
That's me on your shirt. Okay, so teepublic.com, TEE, and then public. I'm not going to spell it for you. Figure it out. Search Real Life Sci-Fi. You'll find our shirts. There's some good designs on there. Check them out.
Yeah. And if you want to give us a design, you can make almost no money.
Oh, do we do a sharing agreement with the artists?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. If you want to draw us something, because we've had people submit drawings, and I'm like, we should just put this on a t-shirt.
Yeah, and so the people that have made shirts for us, they make their own money. I don't think we make any money off theirs.
The artists?
Yeah, maybe we do a little bit, but
no money at all.
No.
Okay, well, maybe not that deal, but if you want a t-shirt with a self-drawn logo on it, we can make that happen.
Yeah. Draw yourself and write Real Life Sci-Fi on it. This commercial's like 5 minutes long.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Real Life Sci-Fi. We are here with our friend Nick Hurley talking about Tupac and Biggie. And Tupac gets killed in Vegas, right after a fight.
He was at the Tyson fight. Basically, a week, or I don't know if it was a week, but before the Tyson fight, there was all the death row guys had a medallion that they wore. And that represented that they were with death row. There was some guys, I think they were Crips, but I should fucking look.
So West Coast was Bloods and East Coast was Crips.
Word. So these Crips like jumped one of these death row guys and got one of their medallions. So after the Mike Tyson fight at the MGM, they saw one of Pac and Suge and those guys saw one of the guys that jumped somebody and got one of their death row medallions. So Tupac threw the first punch and they jumped this guy, Orlando Wilson. And Suge ended up going back to jail because they had him on camera. He broke his probation by kicking the guy. So that night, they get the retaliation for getting the medal. Tupac throws the first punch on this Crip. Later on that night, that guy was the guy that shot Tupac.
Allegedly.
Just slight correction is Orlando Anderson.
Anderson, thank you. I knew I was wrong. I was about to say, that's what I was about to get into. Yeah, Orlando Anderson. So he's the guy that all of the police departments know killed him. The reason why they've never been convicted is because he died a little while later when they, so it's like, I mean, he died.
That's why they said like they didn't have enough time to build a case and he died. So what was the point?
What do you mean he died? Was he killed or did he die?
He was killed in another shooting.
Yeah.
Unrelated, you know, just regular gangster stuff.
Which is interesting because the other alleged killer was also killed very recent or very soon after.
Yeah, I know. The guy Pucci who everyone knows, all the departments, they know he killed Biggie Pooch.
You keep doing air quotes, but this is an audio.
Oh, yeah. Podcast. I'm sorry. Well, it's weird because the people that know are also have a conspiracy against them, you know? So let's get into the big one, right? The big one is that there was this guy, Russell Poole. Now, if you watch the Tupac and Biggie Netflix show, and I didn't watch the whole thing, but it's following this detective. And he was given the case of Biggie Smalls. And so also concurrently, I don't know if this is too early to bring this up, but like it was also a Johnny Depp movie, 2018, and Johnny Depp was playing this guy, Russell Poole. So there was this detective out there who was doing research into the Biggie Smalls case and basically came to the conclusion that the LAPD was very much involved in his life and his death. There were a lot of, I mean, listen, LAPD corrupt as fuck.
Yeah.
And they had a lot of cops moonlighting that would play security for rappers at night, Death Row Records even. And so with that being said, as they're working their night job, they would see crimes and let them go by because that wasn't, they were off duty. And they treated it as off duty where it was like, no, I'm security now. So if I see crimes, I'm not going to turn them in. I didn't see anything. And so with that, Russell Poole, I forget who wrote the book. That's a different guy, but all of Russell Poole's detective work led him to believe that the LAPD had a big hand in everything. And that's why there was never a conviction of any killer, because you got cops all over the place playing security.
Not that they did it, just that they were around and they didn't want to be implicated.
Yeah, well, he started okay, so the book was called Labyrinth, but the LA is capitalized in Labyrinth. So it's like LA Labyrinth, a detective investigation into the rogue LAPD. Russell Poole's information. And he basically, in his investigations, trying to figure out who killed Biggie, started seeing all these corrupt cops everywhere. And so he found a cop, David Mack, who was like robbing banks and was also connected to Biggie's thing. I mean, the whole thing comes down to there was this road rage incident where this cop killed someone and he went there to investigate. Turns out the guy, and so this cop, this LAPD was like, this guy was throwing gang signs at me and we had a road rage incident and then I shot him and I was quicker than him. Turns out the guy who he said was a gang member was a cop. And he was like, oh, fuck, this guy's a cop. Not only is he a cop, he's driving a car that's owned by Suge Knight's wife. So this cop was dating Suge Knight's wife. So their marriage was like, you know, it was over a long time ago. But, I mean, you have a cop dating Suge Knight's ex-wife. They were still married, but they were separated. And he gets gunned down by another cop. And then, it's pretty fucking crazy. And all of this stuff recently came back on. The reason why the movie was made, the reason why the TV series was made, is because people opened a claim against the LAPD and they were asking for millions of dollars because if the cops were involved in these deaths, then they owe the money that they would have made had he been alive. So it was like a millions and millions of dollar lawsuit. And so Poole's investigation, I mean, he's very hard on the fact that the LAPD, there were all these corrupt people, so they must have been involved in the killing. Now, there's a newer cop that has come out recent since then that's like, no, he had good intel in that, like, these cops were corrupt, but they had nothing to do with the killing. And then the case was dropped. And so it's also weird, though, that, like, you know, it seems like the LAPD would need somebody to clean them up because they've been so dirty for so long. You know, you got fucking Rodney King, you got Tupac Biggie, you got too many corrupt people getting off for things the whole time. So it's very convenient that this guy, that they're treating this guy's investigation as like, no, nah, he's not right either.
I kind of agree with them, though. I feel like there's no way that a cop actually killed either one of these dudes. I think they were just probably around and don't want to get tied up into it, you know? Like, I'm sure they're corrupt and I'm sure it's shady, but I don't think the LAPD killed... What's the conspiracy that the LAPD killed Biggie?
That they helped coordinate. That there were rogue cops that helped... coordinate it. So like, the, you know, there was one guy who in their train of cars, there was another car that came in and blocked the security car so that he could get shot. You know, it separated the
for Biggie.
Separated Biggie from the rest of his train.
So they were both killed in cars?
Yeah. And so I'm okay, so let's take a step back, right? Let's
maybe
just go.
Cars did it. Maybe it's cars. You know how like people are always like, we can't outlaw guns because cars kill more people. Maybe this is a classic cars
maybe
killing.
Maybe we should
rappers.
Outlaw cars because too many people have died in them.
Well, are we? I mean, does this connect? Is this completely separated, or does this connect to the? And I don't know if we have this sort of info on hand, but like, does this connect to the more federal conspiracy of the murder of Tupac and Biggie?
Well, so here's the thing. Let's jump into the big overarching conspiracies. One of them with Tupac, number one conspiracy, Biggie killed Tupac. And that stems from the fact that he got shot on his way to, and I don't
but
know
like,
why.
Not literally, right? Like, he gave the order, but like Biggie didn't shoot him.
Well, that's the weird thing, because when I read this, Biggie killed Tupac, I'm like, no, it's not Biggie, it's Puffy. Like,
well, Puff was there. Even like the non-conspiracy is that Puff was in the car that killed Pac. But sorry, yeah, I just switched what we were talking about. My bad. It's hard to. It's like East Coast, West Coast, Biggie.
So Tupac killed in Vegas, right?
Yeah.
So one idea is that the East, we'll just say the East Coast, that the East Coast had Tupac killed because there was a feud, and there were a lot of little feuds that kept happening.
Yeah,
there were a lot of gang fights that happened leading up to this, and they were very upset with each other. So the number one is that the East Coast had Tupac killed. Number two, I'm only going to go through four of them, and I'll do them real quick. Number two is that actually Suge Knight called for Tupac's death because Tupac was going to leave Death Row, and Death Row was going to get nothing from him. And so a lot of, you know, it's always been said that like Death Row was blood in, blood out. Like, you don't get to just leave. And so,
well, especially, you know,
yeah. And so it was like, like within that conspiracy, all of the bullets fired at Tupac, there's this idea out there that none of them could have hit Suge because they knew Suge was driving, and they knew that they had to only get Tupac. And that he called for it, whatever.
That's pretty crazy. I mean, if I'm going to have a guy killed, I really don't want to be sitting next to him when it happens.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's why I'm like, by that.
What? It's I a will great tell alibi, you. But like, dude, I can't trust these motherfuckers to not shoot me.
No. Yeah, also, yeah, you would never be like, yeah, I'm going to be right next to him, but just this is the way to kill him, is I'm going to be driving right next to him. There's no way.
It is There's, the number yeah, one alibi. It is the number one alibi.
It's the number one alibi, but it's also like the dumbest possible alibi that you could have. Like, there's yeah. so many easier ways to
it's,
do that.
You're right. It's too. It's so easy that like somebody wrote this. Yeah.
And if you know him, especially, there's a thousand ways to set him up. If you want to, like, if you're going to kill him, you don't have to be next to him.
And so also, here, it sounds way too premeditated, because like he had no idea that that fight was going to happen in the casino right before, you know, and like,
well, but what was he doing there? You know, like that, if this were that, he was planted to be there. Fight.
What do you mean?
That the whole thing was a setup. It was like, hey, so the Crips getting the medal was part of the setup so that he would be at the hotel.
That's too much. That's just too much. If you want to have someone killed, why would you do that?
I agree with you that it is too much. I agree with you. So the number three is that this was all fake death because they needed to get Tupac as a CIA witness, and they put him in the witness protection. And so they had to fake his death. And this is a very public thing. What so, you the, know, he what, didn't. What he didn't he die from the shooting. For? All of the gang stuff, Crips Bloods.
Yeah, but I don't buy that either, because I like gang stuff. They're not. I don't think the CIA is getting really involved in like gang stuff.
I don't buy that either, because we have not seen another example of this on a smaller scale.
If it's smaller, maybe we would not see it. But I know that there's criminal informants all over the place, but like the CIA?
Yeah, but they oh, so I mean with this idea is that he survived because he did survive the shooting. And so at that point,
he was in the hospital for a couple of days, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, well, you know, we got you. Because basically he was on his 18th strike or something stupid. You know what I mean? Like, he's been in and out of prison. And so the same way that Suge went back to jail because he broke his probation, kicking the guy. I mean, I don't buy it either, but that's, I'm just trying to say that, like, well.
Yeah, yeah. What's number four?
And number four is that he just faked his own death, that he did get shot, and that was all real. And then in the hospital, he was like, you know what? That was too close. I'm done with this. Let's just say that I died, and I'm just going to go disappear. And so the some of the proof behind that is, you know, his mom even said some things that I think kind of made people believe this one more, where it was she was like, hold on, let me see. I took some screen grabs. Let me see if I can get them. Damn it, this happens every week. I have too many screen grabs. She basically says in an interview that, like, well, she wanted to take a step back and just disappear silently. She doesn't say.
See, that one's really funny to me, because then his friend gets shot because he supposedly got shot, and then he's just like, oh no, shit, my friend.
Well, but they, I mean, no matter what happens, they just weren't friends at that time. You know what I mean? Have you seen the, when Snoop Dogg won the award when he was in the East Coast, Snoop Dogg and Dre win the award for best album?
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking crazy gangster stuff. And like Suge Knight comes out during the award and was like, yeah, you know, if you want to be a rapper and then have your producer get in on all your videos, go ahead and join Bad Boy.
Yeah.
Oh my God, dude. And they were in New York, and like, they were all afraid that night. Like, that really started the big feud of like, no, 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 fuck you.
Yeah, I know, but it's all manufactured. Like, as far as I know, cause I've watched a bunch of stuff on this, and it's all so manufactured. And like, if they, Yeah, they were kids. They were 23 and 24 or whatever you said. And like, if they just would have like not participated in any of that dumb drama shit, they would both be alive.
Well, so have you heard the conspiracy that it was like literally an order from like the top of the like US government, like because they were creating this hostile, very violent culture. And it was like,
yeah, like glamorizing crime and gangs and stuff.
Yeah. And so it came from like the top, maybe CIA. I don't know. CIA, FBI. I don't know who would handle that type of thing. But yeah, like, that's the conspiracy I've heard, is it was like, and ironically, things settled after that. Like people took a step back and chilled out.
I will say, I didn't write that down, but let's just call that number five, because I agree with that. Because here's the weird thing. Yeah, you know, you look at Martin Luther King, you know, like the government was very against him.
All right. But here, I'll just say this, like the government does not care if young black people kill each other. Like they're not going to be like, oh, Tupac and Biggie are inspiring all these black kids to kill each other. We should probably stop this. Like the government probably loved that.
But if enough white people are getting scared, I think they would.
But my experience.
If enough white people do, sure.
So we moved to LA in 2001. We moved here. Wade and I moved here the week of 9/11. When we moved here, there were fucking gangs everywhere. Still, we lived on a street of the Playboy Hustlers. They were a local gang. After a couple of years of living here, we moved to that down in Culver City, and gang members galore everywhere. They were just fucking kids. And somebody got shot up that lived in our apartment complex. But what I witnessed was there used to be gangs everywhere. Where Lions used to live, there were a lot of gang. There's a lot of gang stuff over there. Slowly but surely, they've quote unquote fixed the gang problem by just arresting all of the gang members. They all disappeared. They all ended up in jail. And I think that there was a big unspoken push across America to like, hey, we have a gang problem. Let's just come up with this three strike thing and let's just put them all away for too long. You know, you've heard stories of marijuana possession for like 20 years, but like they got all of the gang members into jail.
Yeah, but these are just facts. I mean, that's all just factual stuff.
Yeah, but I'm saying on top of that, because I like let's show these kids that the ultimate whatever you believe in is getting killed. So I could see that
killing them. Kids wouldn't buy that. That turns them into martyrs, and then kids just want to be like them. You know, like I don't think. Listen, it's fun to think that the government like killed these dudes, but I just don't. That strategically, that doesn't make any sense to me.
But also, like think about the crack epidemic. Have you guys done the crack epidemic?
Yeah, it's all CIA money.
Wait, we've done that.
We touched on it a little bit where like the CIA was funding their black projects by
putting crack into the. To crack, to like, to me, there's enough smoke to at least be like, I'm not saying
they got, but that's all like decimating the black community, like not helping them. So like everything you guys are saying is like, oh, we'll put an end to all this violence by like killing these guys. And that's not really like what the government was ever after.
But I think it does at a certain level. I think it does affect, you know, it might like Tipper Gore with the, you know, explicit content and the, you know, trying to control music and stuff. It's like at a certain point, the pearl clutching of white people is going to be like, it's going to be a priority, for lack of a better
word. Sure. Yeah.
So I wouldn't put it past them. I don't think they were like trying to be like these noble. This is what happened. I don't think they were doing it as a noble cause. I think it was more of like a control.
Yeah, like I think the war on drugs was a fight against minorities.
you know, like absolutely, 100%.
Yeah. And so, listen, I don't subscribe to the idea that they took them out.
Yeah, let's talk more about, like, what do you guys actually think happened?
Well, so hold on, time out. Those are all the Tupac ones. Let me just go over the three Biggie ones real quick. That Biggie was killed by Suge Knight and Bloods in retaliation for Tupac. That's the most obvious one. And then number two is that it wasn't with the Bloods, that Suge actually worked with the LAPD to get the revenge. And so that's where that comes in. Is it like, well, all these security guards that were hired as that are actually LAPD, they helped Suge kill him. And then number three, that Biggie was killed by the Southside Crips for an unpaid debt, that it was actually
his own gang.
Yeah, his own gang. So those are the three main ones. And so, yeah. So back to your question, Wade, like, the overall thing, like, what do you think, Nick?
I think both my two things that seem both pretty reasonable, I will say, which is the leading thing, which it was gang violence, and it was Pucci and Orlando Anderson, and they were both, and it was just that coincidentally two gangsters who live by the gun, die by the gun, also died shortly after. And that's just the nature of the beast. That's how it happens. But also, to me, just based on, I would never put something like this past the U.S. government based on their history, based on what they've done. And I do, as much as it's believable that these two gangsters died shortly after, it's also sort of suspicious that these two gangsters died shortly after. And who knows, maybe they were the shooters, but who was paying them and how many indirect transactions between this took place? You know, like, does the federal government go to LAPD, these crooked cops, LAPD, they're helping a gangster? Like, you know, how far away are they separated from it? So it's like, no, oh, it wasn't us. To me, that doesn't sound, based on the U.S. history, it doesn't sound far-fetched as maybe some people think. But also, yeah, I think it's also possible that it was just street violence, and that's how it goes when you live that life.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, when you think about, like, gangs and stuff, like, those people don't talk to cops, but they all know who did it. And so it's pretty easy to just be like, oh, that motherfucker did it. Like, let's go kill that dude. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, the crazy thing is the first suspect in the Biggie case, he was seen, he talked Biggie that night at the party. He owned a car that matched the car, even though, like, The main discrepancies are he had a black Impala, which was a popular car, and a lot of people say that the Impala was actually green, and so the cops did a bad job in that respect. But that guy who was the main suspect, his nephew
was Pucci or Orlando?
No. This is Keefe.
Oh, Keefe. Okay.
EPD. We haven't talked. We haven't brought him up yet, but he was the main first suspect of the Biggie killing. And his nephew was Orlando Anderson. So, like, but Keefe was seen at the club saying hi to Biggie, and he was working that night. So you have a connection there of, just small circles, you know?
Well, and it's again, could be coincidence, but it is interesting, just like the JFK thing, which is to me, it's similarly sort of like, I don't fucking know, but it seems, I don't know, but it is interesting that, like, Lee Harvey Oswald shot right after.
Yeah.
And then who shot him was shot right after, or whatever. Like,
Jack Ruby. Jack Ruby died in jail, and he said that he was going to get killed.
Okay. So, but to me, there's just, I don't know, there's too many parallels to not rule it out for me. Like,
I mean, the fact that both killers died.
Wait, not rule what out?
Not rule out that it was coming from, like, the government.
Wait, I mean, it just seems, It just seems like such a dumb fucking chess move.
But picture George Bush trying to solve the gang problem. That's so on par.
Like what? We'll kill some rappers? Like how is that? Doesn't violence beget violence? And so like I don't understand.
I don't know. But okay, I would say one is, like I said, everything did chill out after, so that would indicate some sort of like maybe they knew that this would calm everything. But anyway, I'll just go back to what I was normally going to say. So like you get, you know, the packet on your desk and you're like, look, gang violence is a huge issue. It's this many people are dying, blah, 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 blah. And what's going on? It's like, well, you know, those gangster rappers are, you know, they're all that gangster rapper stuff is going on. What
just
if we
out there inciting all this violence?
Yeah. Like to me, that sounds like I'm not trying to like sound like I'm not pandering or anything, but like, it sounds like something an old, out of touch white dude would be like, well, kill the two famous rappers and fucking be done with it.
I mean, picture this, right? After Rodney King, the gang violence that happened in LA burned the city. And that was the real awakening to be like, well, Beverly Hills is right next to LA.
Well, sure, but that was just a reaction of the video of watching cops beat up a black dude. You know, that was like, I wouldn't even call those riots gang violence. I would just call it a reaction to police
brutality. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I agree.
I know he was like on PCP and shit like that, but like,
I'm just saying from the perspective, like I'm trying to speak from the perspective of George Bush, where it's like, You don't even know what a minority is, you know? And
it feels like a simplification, though. Like, I don't know. It's weird. Like, what about all the other gangster rappers? Like, there's bigger. What about fucking like Ice Cube and shit? Why wasn't he killed?
They were, you know, the same like rivalry and violence. Like they just weren't, like Cube was not, like it was like, who are the two figureheads? Tupac and Biggie. Like that's like point blank, no discussion. It was Tupac, Biggie. They are both the faces of this beef, of all this violence, of these gang wars.
Well, listen, when you put it down like that, my biggest argument with it is that, like, well, Puffy and Suge were more gangster than Biggie and Tupac.
But they weren't the faces, that they weren't as much of the faces.
No. I know. But I'm like, I subscribe to the idea that they had something to do with it more than the government. Because OK, here's the thing. So Biggie only had one album out. He had only recorded one album and he was that big. And the next album that he recorded, he died. And then the album that was released was Life After Death.
But then when Eminem talked shit about, like, Puff, if Puff is so hard, why didn't he take a shot at Eminem?
Because Puff, at this point, turned into a businessman.
Yeah, he's wiser. Like,
fuck it, I have money, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. I could see Puff being like, just hire the kid, like, hey, man, get rid of this guy. You know? Like, and then just business as usual. Tupac's ruining my business.
I don't know, man. I like Puff just does not seem that, like, I don't know. Maybe he's got a good public persona or something, but I just don't see him like ordering a hit.
Well, to me, ordering the hit is borderline stupid. Because it didn't make Bad Boy better. What made Bad Boy better was Biggie dying, not Tupac dying.
Well, what made Puff bigger was,
yeah, that's the fucked up thing. That he benefited from Biggie's death.
Yeah. Like hugely. Like he was like a behind the scenes guy, and then Biggie dies, and now all of a sudden he's like rapping with Mace and shit.
Yeah. Well, he was like, I mean, he was because he was like,
yeah, but he was totally overshadowed. He was just like one of these guys.
But for years, he was this guy. On right. Everybody's album.
Yeah, that's right.
This is off topic, but can you guys tell me what DJ Khalid does? What does he do?
No one knows. He's a
producer.
He's a businessman. He's not even a producer. But
I don't think he does anything.
He literally calls in producers. Like he's like a he's a connector.
He's the same way that most producers in Hollywood just have money. They're not even creative. He's just money.
He just shows up on all these tracks and goes, it's the next one, or what does he say?
We're the best music. Another one.
I don't get it.
Yeah, it's bizarre that you would like if I were I don't know, man. It's bizarre that like a guy can just literally be someone who's like, I'm going to get this producer, this rapper, they're going to make a song. I'm DJ Khaled presents. Boom. And somehow
it's insane.
Somehow that is crazy.
Like people got lost track of what if you just say you're a DJ, nobody even knows what a DJ is.
So Nick, you sound like, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you're very high on the government thing. Do you actually believe that? Or what do you think actually happened?
I can't rule it out, and I can't say that it's even unreasonable to believe. I'll say that. So, again, to me, it's either the most, simplest, what the LAPD detective said, which, by the way, also sort of sketchy to just take that at face value. But I would say either it's just like straight up gang violence, nothing more than that. Or to me, it's equally believable to me, honestly. So I don't know what I believe, but I can only say that it's not unreasonable to believe that the government was behind it.
Well, okay, but on the let's talk about the gang violence thing. Do you if you could choose one or the other, random gang violence, just like, oh, this guy snatched my chain, we're gonna fucking beat him up and then I'm gonna get shot because of it. Or do you think it's like Suge Knight and Puffy Combs like ordering hits?
Oh, okay. If it's that, I will say this. If it's that, I would say the first one was a random heated fight, and the next one was retaliation and orchestrated. So I would say, if I were to believe that it's just gang violence, it was a sort of something that just happened in the heat of the moment, and then Suge retaliated and was like, "Well, if you're going to take, my cash pony, I'm going to take yours."
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, like Suge definitely had something to do with the Biggie thing, right?
Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah. Interesting that like his gang might have killed him though. And like, what would that have been? Like he didn't kick back some of his record. How would he owe his own gang any money at that?
Basically it's the disrespect of not paying somebody because you're too big, like picture. I don't even know if this parallels, but picture the Rolling Stones concert where they hired the Hell's Angels to be the security.
Yeah.
And as soon as you disrespect their power, it's like they could turn on you. I don't even actually know what I'm talking about, but I'm just saying that
that tracks a little bit. So if like you're my boys and like I'm a better rapper than you guys and I take off and then you're like, wait, but like we're your boys. Where's our money? And I'm like, fuck you, man. I'm the rapper. And then you would like kill me.
Yeah. The major disrespect is that there was an unpaid debt. And it's like, how can you not pay the Crips?
But I wonder what that
millions of dollars.
Yeah. What is that debt coming from? Is that like, like how basketball players are always putting money into their community or whatever. Is it like that type of thing where the gang's like, hey, motherfucker, like you're making millions of dollars. Like you got to chip in? Or is it just like, oh, you stole a bunch of Coke from us?
I think it was specific that somebody, my interpretation is that somebody actually did some security work and didn't get paid for it. And it's like,
oh, interesting.
And it's like, I'm a Crip and you didn't pay me for my service and you are rich. You got to go. So, yeah, I mean, that makes sense because it's like, that's a huge disrespect. It's like, how do you not pay the baddest around when it's we're protecting you?
It's also very short-sighted. Like, you know, you could just rob him continually.
Well, and, like, make more money. How did that happen right after Tupac? You know what I mean? Like, how convenient.
Yeah.
And why wouldn't you just pay those dudes?
Yeah.
My overall interpretation is I really think that Tupac could have faked his own death, because I think that, let's say the fight did happen at MGM, and then after that fight, Suge is going to drive Tupac on the main strip of Vegas after this gang fight. And then that shooting is going to happen on the main strip. That means that that gang member Orlando assumed Tupac would be driving on the main strip after he beat you up. There's no fucking way. If somebody beat me up, I don't think he's going to drive down the main strip of Vegas. And that's always bothered me so much, where it's like,
well, Where would you feel safer, a crowded airport or a fucking desolate alley? Like,
well, but you've driven on the main strip. It's very slow. It's like there's traffic. And so like
it's also not something that's very hard to get off of. Like, if you don't know Vegas, it's hard to like navigate around.
Yeah. So like, to me,
I don't know if I'm running from a fight that I would be able to get off the main strip, because you get stuck in all that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you're just sitting there. And so to me, it's very convenient that they found each other. I mean, listen, I know that World War One.
So you think it was a Suge Knight? You think Suge Knight killed Tupac?
Yeah, I think that they had. Listen, I think Suge Knight is a fucking. He's an artist, you know, and
he's not an artist. What do you mean?
Well, he's
an artist at what?
I mean, like, he is.
Suge Knight?
No. What? No. Tupac. Did I say Suge? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That Tupac is a Juilliard artist who wants to be a voice for somebody, and you know, he's doing movies. He's doing, like, making you look at the world poetry as his rap. Not fuck. And I know that he had his, you know, I fucking hate the song Gangster Party, whatever, California Love. I fucking hate that song. But I think that both of them were influenced by their.
Yeah, what? Why do you hate that song?
It's like, I don't like West Coast. I don't like the video was them in camouflage in the desert at like, their own like Burning Man.
It was like Mad Max.
Yeah, it was Mad Max. They were in the Thunderdome.
Thunderdome to me was like making fun of the apocalypse.
Okay.
At any rate.
So out of bail, fresh out of jail. Sorry.
I think that. Well, I mean, I love his poetry, man. I don't love his like glamour songs. And I think the Suge was so offended and betrayed by.
But Tupac that thing leaving. About him, but that thing, he wasn't going to leave. It was like, wasn't that going to be a subsect of Death Row where Tupac would run his own sort of like. Label within a label.
Even if it was a label within a label, Suge got nothing. And so also, I will say this. There was an interview with Snoop Dogg where they asked him who shot Tupac. And he said his quote was, "The big man sitting next to him."
Yeah, but
I mean, not to say that brings any more credibility to it, but Snoop thinks that Suge had something to do with Tupac's death.
And right, like, but isn't who Snoop is one closer? Of the biggest posers that there is?
He's a poser in that, like, he wanted to be melodical, like space rap, and he got into gangster stuff, and so that's why after the gangster stuff went down. Then he started like bringing in his Bootsy, you know.
I just mean like he was never really a gangster. He just, and he's the one who incited that fucking New York thing by like getting on state. I don't know.
He wanted to be what's the space rap from the 70s?
Funkatron.
He wanted to be fucking Funkatron, dude. Like that's what happened after Death Row, was he turned into funk, and he always wanted to be funk.
I just don't think you can. I don't know.
At any rate, he, I think, has a better perspective than most of us, and he thought Suge Knight killed Tupac. And that's crazy.
I guess. I mean, that's a weird thing to say, like knowing that Suge Knight could just like kill you at any time.
I don't like the story of him holding Vanilla Ice over the balcony. That's real.
It wasn't Vanilla Ice. It was someone else. It wasn't Vanilla Ice. You're talking about.
I've heard it as Vanilla Ice.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll have to check that. I don't want to hurt the flow too much, but I do want to throw in the little tidbit of City of Lies and the release being affected and the conspiracy that it was because of LAPD and the relationship with the film industry.
Okay, so City of Lies is the Johnny Depp movie that we referenced earlier. Johnny Depp was playing Russell Poole, and it got shelved for like a year. And the conspiracy is because the LAPD shut it down. And the story that's out there is it got shelved because of Johnny Depp's legal problems.
Yeah. And so like there's a new detective out that's running the circuit talking about how wrong Russell Poole was and why he was wrong. And so how fucking convenient that he also is LAPD. And so, But like, to his credit, though, he says most of the cops working for Death Row Records weren't LAPD. There's three police departments. There's the Compton PD, the Inglewood PD, and the LAPD. And so what the main security guy for Death Row used to work for Compton PD. And so when he got hired to do security, he would hire all his friends that happened to be Compton PD.
Yeah, but it's a thin blue line thing. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really matter what department they work for. I don't know. I mean, I think. I tend to just believe the simplest answer is the right answer, and that's that these guys who shot these dudes ended up getting shot themselves, because that's the way it goes, right? We've all seen Boys to Men. Boys to Men, Boys in the Hood. We've all also seen Boys to Men live. And
yes, this is true. Yes, yes.
They're a huge part of my childhood.
Well, like I always laugh about
ABC, thinking, BBD.
Like when you think about Boys to Men, like singing together. I've never met a group of friends that could like be hard and sing together.
Well, Boys to Men are
not. I know they're not. But I laugh about that thing of like, hey man,
Bone Thugs maybe. Bone Thugs.
You guys want to? You guys want to sing together?
Hey, wait.
Boom, 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 boom.
That's Bone Thugs. So you're doing Bone Thugs.
I know. This is so emotional.
Wade, who would you have killed in the Channel 101 gang rivalry?
Let's go. I mean. Listen, I don't know if I can say this on record because I feel like
Write it down.
Who can you say on record? Who can say on record?
On record, like joke answer?
Sure, if that's what you'll give. And then write down your real answer and we won't say it so we can just see.
So I guess like my biggest rival, I would kill my biggest rival. I don't know who that would have been. I don't know. Maybe Mike Chilean. Maybe Drew Hancock, because we've got history and we sort of split up. I'll give you the real answer on my
this is the bonus content.
On my note here.
Oh. Oh, I could have come up with that. Yeah, yeah. That's funny.
I mean, maybe Justin, because now he's like a millionaire and maybe I could figure out some way to get some money from him.
That's good stuff.
I never had like real beef with anyone.
I know, me neither. My joke answer is William Morris, because when they did Puppet Apartment, I was just like, we already did this. But that happens everywhere. Everything that I did was inspired by things that were already done.
Wait, what did you do that was like Puppet Apartment? Oh, well, I would kill KP because she basically did Business like 10 years after we did Business. I never saw it, but I can only imagine.
Yeah. It was a one take thing, but and they did a great job as a one take thing. But yeah.
Was a one take thing?
No, yeah. I thought Wade was talking about Making Partner, but Willie's talking about Fraud. Right? I think.
What's Fraud? Yeah.
Fraud was their one take show.
Oh no, I just mean I never saw Making Partner, but it just sounded exactly like Business to me.
What about you, Nick?
Who did you kill?
There's people that come to mind, but there's people like the people I have issues with. I don't hate.
I know, right?
Anyone else does.
We're all working for free, so it's weird.
Yeah, and also like even people I don't like, I'm also like I think you're a good person, but I just I would definitely admit to wanting to shoot anyone who voted for Poolside Chat that month that I was canceled. I would definitely love to throw some bullets.
Ooh, that's interesting. That's interesting. Yeah.
Not the creators, just the people who voted. Just the people who voted for Poolside Chat. I would love to throw some bullets their way.
See, this is bullshit because Willie and I named names and you're just naming voters.
Wait, Willie named a name?
Yeah, didn't he? Bill Morris.
Okay, I'll say a joke answer.
And I love him. I love him.
I'll say a joke answer for someone who I actually really like and respect. But my joke answer is Michelson for completely cleaning up the Channies the year that street cleaning had like the most first places of any show. And he pretty much cleaned up the Channies. So I would say.
Isn't that rough?
It was, dude, that I can say this because I truly from the bottom of my heart, like love Michelson and his work, but that was bullshit. That was complete fucking bullshit. But, whatever.
I know. Right. I know. Like
we're starting some new beefs here.
I know.
No,
dude.
No 10 beef.
Years like, later.
I stopped no caring beef. About Channies when I lost the ones that I thought I earned. And I was like, well, all right. I don't
the thing about Channies is they're supposed to be a joke. Yeah, no one was supposed to ever think that they were real.
I reject that completely.
No. But my defense is
you're the, right
like, to the first life. One of the first lifetime achievements was Andy Goldblatt's boobs. And it's like, that's the reminder that like we're making fun of award shows. So when you care too much, gosh, that's not what this is supposed to be.
Yeah, and what do you expect when you do an award show? People are going to take it seriously. Whatever. Tupac was killed by Biggie, and Biggie was killed by Tupac.
I think that if Puffy Combs had anything to do with it, he was big enough to take all attention off of him, because it's like to order the Crips to do something back then is just to pay them a little bit. You know, the like Pucci only got paid $13,000.
If you're paying the LAPD, then they're not going to be, they're not going to turn around and put you in jail, because then they're like, well, we get all this money from these dudes. Like, who cares if they killed like some other dude?
That's my night job. And you know what? Most night jobs are better than most day jobs. You know, like doing stand up for free is better for me than my paid job, but I need my insurance.
Can I write my joke answer? I mean, my
real answer? Sure. Yeah,
dude. Write I want to know. I want to think about
this.
Mine
is messy. Right? And I have a feeling that you guys are going to be really shocked and maybe even disappointed. But
well, while you do that, let's wrap the episode up. Yeah. Willie, you're on this new app. Do you want to plug that thing?
Oh yeah. Listen, on Likey, it's like a new TikTok.
You have to spell it because it's
it's LIKEE.
Willie 107 or
Robotic Willie. But also I'm going to plug, honestly, go to Wade and Nick's TikToks because they're so fucking good. I laugh at both of them and I'm like jealous of both of them. So yeah, you can find me on TikTok, but go find them because you're going to love it, because most people suck on these apps. Most people suck. What are you doing? You're like, it's, I don't know. I don't want to rip on people too bad, but like go to Wade and Nick's TikToks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Willie.
That's Nick, the person with two E's. Thank you.
I'm just Wade.Randolph.
Nick the person, and that's up my Instagram, and my TikTok is Nick the person, because Nick the person was taken by some 12-year-old.
Oh my God.
You know, whatever. But yeah, those are the handles.
All right, hit us with that secret murder.
Do I have to do it on air? Because I was sort of just like, why don't I just tell you, like,
all right. Well, let's end the episode then. Thanks again for being here. We're gonna continue the conversation. Go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi to continue listening.
Hey, I will say this to throw on top of this. Yeah, you know, we got t-shirts for sale. We've been doing this for 6 years. If you want to support us, you can buy a shirt. If you want to support us, you can get a Patreon. You know what? For $1 a month, you get 4 extra episodes of our shit. And it's just us hanging out off topic. And I think it's too cheap, but I'm just like, I don't want to charge too much either. So go follow us on fucking Patreon. You get 4 extra episodes for a fucking dollar a month.
Yeah, the shirts thing, we don't see any money out of that.
Yeah, we get a couple of dollars for the shirt. But, you know, mostly, like, I want to see people wearing
it. Is that all going to you?
Yeah.
I don't see any of that.
Well, in January, I'll show you the screen grab. We made $3 in January.
Okay, you can
have it. From our t-shirt sales. All right.
Yeah, I don't care about that. All right. Thanks everyone for listening. Go do all that stuff. And remember, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. We'll see you next time.